Hello, and welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Sunday, December 18th. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, Pastor Christopher Liberati's message was entitled, No Reservations. He spoke of the risk God took of having Joseph secure a place for our Savior to be born without having reservations at the inn, and the risk God took of allowing his son to be born as a fragile infant to humanity, to the common people, to us, all for the sake of love.
Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit to come now and open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive the blessing of your word and the message that has been prepared. May the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I remember growing up and going to my grandparents for Christmas, and there would be at least a dozen of us cousins. I had over 20 of them, so it depended on who would be there. But there would always be at least a dozen of us there, acting as kids do, politely and behaving, no running or screaming or anything like that. No, we were good boys and girls. I've lost you already, haven't I? But anyway, it would come time to opening up the presents, and that was probably the most favorite time of the night. And we'd be sitting in front of the tree, and we'd have to listen to my one aunt tell the Christmas story. And here's what I heard, yada, 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 yada. Yada, 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 there was no room in the inn, and let's open presents. Yeah. Fast forward at the age of 38, and I give my life to Christ, and it's as if I hear the Christmas story for the first time. And in that moment of hearing it for the first time, really hearing it, I become perplexed, confused a little bit at the idea of a God who can create the heavens and the earth, the stars, and everything in it, who can give us the four seasons, including a white Christmas. All of this, the imagination of a God who can give us 10 fingers and 10 toes and an immune system that can help try to fight diseases and all these complexities, yet couldn't make a reservation for Joseph and Mary. I mean, no reservation? Come on, God, what were you thinking? I mean, if Dave were God, there'd be a reservation, right? So as I started to learn about the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it and gave us this great gift, I started reading that Christmas story over and over, perplexed by it all, confused by a God who would trust someone like Joseph with the charge of bringing a child into the world with Mary. I mean, if you think about it, if you go know the story, you know, Joseph, when he first heard that Mary was with child, he wanted to run, right? And God had to send a messenger, an angel, to come and have a come-to-Jesus moment, if you will. with him. I mean, he had to say no. You have to see this through. It's going to be okay. And it gave Joseph the courage to stand up and do what God was calling him to do. And then we get to the story I just read to you, and what kept flashing in my mind was this guy named Joseph. It's a typical guy, I'm thinking, you know, doesn't want to stop and ask for directions. And he's going to this town of Bethlehem, and he's running into the Marriott and the Holiday Inn and even Trump Tower, and there's no vacancy, right? Time and time again, because that's what the text says, is there's no room at the inn. And I thought about that, and you know, I'm struggling with that. And it wasn't really until I went to seminary that the story started to make sense to me. I wonder if I can put it into like a modern context for you. Because I'm thinking like David, or I mean Joseph, has really, he's not having any luck. He's got bad credit apparently. And he's just running into no vacancy signs. But the truth of it, the matter is, in the text that we read, is that Joseph's got some clout. The text says that he's returning to his hometown, the town of David, called Bethlehem. Now, David was a really popular king, and you know, to come from that family, to come from that line, would be like, well, in today's terms, it would be like, you remember what happened this summer? Cleveland was the host of the Republican National Convention, and there wasn't a hotel room to be had. They had been booked up for 6 months. And my guess is, even if LeBron James would have came to get a room, he would have been denied. But LeBron James, he has clout. And I guarantee you, if he would have come knocking on your door, you would have opened it up and welcomed him into your house. Because to us, I see some nodding heads over here, to us, he's like a king, right? That's the kind of clout David would have had, going to his hometown. And people would have recognized him for who he was, being from the line of David. He would have had greatness. And so, yeah, he may not have had found room at the inn like a commercial hotel, but if he would have stopped at any commoner's home, he would have been recognized and they would have rolled out the red carpet. So with that in mind, I wanted to give you a picture of what a house would have looked like during that day. This would have been a common house, and what we see here is, up here is the guest room, the main quarters, and then this lower part would have been where they would have kept the animals. For you in the back, that's the lower part, the middle part, and the upper room. You get it? Okay, thank you. And so here's where the seminary kind of kicks in, because there was 1 year in seminary where I had to learn biblical Greek, and I'm going to throw out some biblical words to you, and unless you have a biblical Greek degree, you're not going to know if I'm mispronouncing these. So, and I am so grateful for that. But anyway, our text, our translation for today says there's no place at the inn. And in the Greek word for inn or a commercial restaurant or a hotel, it would have been pandichion. And pandichion, it actually shows up in the Gospels in the parable of the Good Samaritan. You guys remember that? You remember that story where this poor chap is laying on the side of the road, he's been beaten and robbed and left for dead, and people have passed him by, and this Samaritan comes up to him and actually picks him up and carries him to a pandichion, an inn. And he pays the innkeeper in advance, and he says, if there's anything left over, you keep it. If you need more, come see me. That's the word that is being used in that particular story. The story in today's text, the The word that is used is actually catalema. Catalema. And what that word means is guest room. Or if you look at it, it means upper room. So what Luke is actually telling us here is that David or Joseph found a common person to stay with, and they were invited in, and they made room for them, but there wasn't room in the guest room. So they put him into the manger. And so we see the beauty of the gift of hospitality being extended to somebody from the line of David, having no idea what is to come. Obviously seeing that Mary was with child, but not really knowing the gift that was about to receive. And we see the gift of love coming in the form of an infant, the glorious humility laid in a manger bed. And so to help us visualize that, I liked this picture. Out of all the pictures I picked or had to choose from, I saw this one because it wasn't the linen wasn't quite bright white like all the rest. You could still get a sense of maybe the dirtiness that surrounded the infant. And hopefully you get a sense of the frailty of an infant. I think about that as we read our text today and in the frailty of humanity. If you've ever been in a hospital or an ICU or had a child in a PICU, you can relate to how fragile life can really be. And it reminded me about like a week after Anthony's first birthday. It was New Year's Day and we were preparing a meal and we were going to have guests over, and I was preparing the traditional roast pork and sauerkraut because that's what you have to do on New Year's Eve, right? Or day, right? And so I'm setting the table and the guests are getting ready to arrive, and Connie comes up to me and says, "Something's wrong. Anthony's not breathing right." You know, in God's wisdom, he makes male and female, fathers and mothers. I go over, I look at Anthony. He's breathing. He's fine. I got to set the table. That's the difference between a mother and a father. And sure enough, our guests come in. I sit them down, and Connie comes up to me and says, "Start the car. We're leaving." And I'm like, but. And she gives me that look. Guys, you know the look I'm talking about. Okay, friends, enjoy the meal. We'll just go. And so we get in the car and we drive down to Rainbow's Baby Hospital in Columbus, and we walk in, and I'm given a clipboard and I'm filling it out, and the lady, the nurse behind the station, is asking me what's going on, and I says, "Well, my wife seems to think our son isn't breathing like he's supposed to." She almost did a cartwheel over the desk, grabs us, ushers us into a room, and all of a sudden, another nurse and a doctor comes in, and they're doing all these tests and checking oxygen levels, which I was clueless about. And just like that, we're being whisked upstairs to the 8th floor. And I still have the clipboard in my hand, and I don't know what's going on. And finally, the doctor says, "Your son has pneumonia." And it sinks in, the frailty of life. Right? And to think about the frailty of life, the risk that God is willing to take out of love, the risk on trusting a father who he had to have a sit down with and encourage him to go the distance, the risk that God is willing to take on a community to identify and extend hospitality to a couple in need, the risk of allowing a fragile infant to be born next to the animals, to be laid in a dusty manger, It perplexed me, truly. But then I can start to see the plan of God. God doesn't come to the high and mighty. He comes to the low, the outcast, the marginalized. He comes to the shepherds. He reveals himself first to the shepherds, the outcasts who are out in the fields in the middle of the night. And if they were to come into town during the day, my guess is the crowds would part because they would probably smell like the animals they care for. He comes in a fragile state to the lowly, but he also comes to the wealthy and the wise, for we see three kings visit him and bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God comes to us all. He comes. And that perplexes me, that God would be willing to take such a risk. Why, I wonder, why? It leads me to our closing scripture of why. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. The plan of God to sneak in disguise in human flesh, to take a risk on us, on humanity. Can you see the irony of being laid in a manger next to a lamb? The Son of God, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Let me close with this true story. I visited a man in the hospital, and he had every technical medical device attached to him, keeping him alive. And it was just him and I in the room, and I went before him as close as I could, and I started to pray for him. And I almost stood up ready to leave, and God said, "You need to offer more." And so all I could think of was to tell him, look for Jesus. He should be standing there with his arms wide open, ready to accept you if you're willing to walk to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And in that moment, for the first time, I could see a response. His chin moved and a smidge of a smile came to his face, acknowledging who was before him. And I offered the Lord's Prayer and thanked God for the presence of Jesus in the room. And I left. And within an hour, I received a call that he had gone to be with the Lord. He had received the gift. And after receiving that call, I felt the presence of God. And the words that came to mind were these: it was worth the risk. Amen. It was worth the risk. So if there's anything that you leave here today with, let it be these words as they sink into your heart. You are worth the risk. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. You have given us the greatest gift in the love of your Son. You have shown us that we are worthy of the risk. Lord, I'd pray that we'd be able to fully understand the lengths and the depths and the widths that you would go to pursue us, to bring us back into a right relationship with you, to offer us the gift of love. Thank you for trusting in us, for risking it all for the sake of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.